Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Person You Want to Be. This is another solo episode, an audio essay entitled, How to Find the Love of Your Life. The elusive match in the form of a truly compatible life partner is something many people yearn for. Some are lucky enough to experience it. I suffered plenty of heartache in my dating and relationship life for a good number of years in search of this very thing. I learned important lessons along the way, none of which apparently I could shortcut. But eventually, miraculously, I did get there. Samantha and I met in our 30s and got married 7 years later to the day. We have been together for 17 plus years as of this recording. Importantly, though, our relationship remains a mutually nourishing and satisfying one. Look, I'll be the first to tell you, I hit the jackpot. If there were a map one could follow, guaranteed to lead you to this destination, the economy would probably collapse as soon as it became available for free on the internet. Thankfully for the economy, no such map exists as of this recording. That said, I can tell you what worked for me. It's not a magic formula, and it certainly offers no guarantees. But I am of the opinion that it's a worthwhile way to go and to live regardless. Here it is in all of its glorious simplicity. Do the things you love to do, and do them out in public and with, or at least in proximity to, other people, at least some of the time. That's it. No apps required. You know this already, you say, perhaps in exasperation. That's far too simplistic. Yet, how many of us go out and do things we don't particularly like to do with the sole purpose of trying to meet someone? Think of it like this. If you do something you love, you're guaranteed to have a good time whether you end up meeting someone or not. And if you do meet someone, you are likely to already have at least one key interest in common. Whereas, if you do something you don't particularly like to do, or something that you even hate, just in the hopes of meeting someone, and you don't meet someone, then the whole experience is likely to be a bust. Even if you meet someone in this latter context, that person may already love to do something that you have no interest in or even hate. Of course, people can and do meet and successfully pair up in just about any and every imaginable way, including randomly. But is randomly how you want to go about living your life, dating-wise or otherwise? After many years and countless efforts, I ended up meeting Samantha on a Sierra Club night hike. This was a weekly, organized hike that I did regularly, or at least semi-regularly, for almost 5 years before meeting my now wife. But every Friday night that I happened to show up for this hike, regardless of whomever I did or did not meet in terms of appealing single women, I had a fantastic time. And I made some great friends over the years on this hike as well, a number of whom attended our wedding. In my opinion and experience, the more you behave in accordance with your true interests and values, such as by doing things you love, the more likely you are to meet people with similar interests and values. and similar interests and values, while not a guarantee in and of themselves of long-term compatibility, certainly help establish a great foundation for a lasting relationship. Engagement is the goal, but not in the way that you think. So, the advice that I just gave presumes that you already know what you love and what you love to do. What if you don't? Then your task is still the same: to find the love, or perhaps loves, of your life. If you are at a genuine loss for things you love and love to do, you need to go out and find some. Because life is, to make perhaps the biggest understatement I've ever made, interesting. Life offers an endless supply of opportunities, possibilities, situations, and activities through which you might experience growth, fascination, fun, joy, wonder, connection, even bliss. Not to mention through which you might at some point meet the human love of your life. To find and maintain love in our lives, we need to be engaged in what we are doing as often as possible. We must discover things that light us up, and we must make a point of returning to those things frequently. If you don't have anything in your life right now that truly excites you, make it your imperative to find such a thing. It could be something you were once interested in but got sidetracked from, or it could be something entirely new. It might even be something you are not even yet aware that you could be interested in, but which simply awaits the tipping point of your discovering it for all hell to break loose, in a good way. I have many times over had the experience of becoming captivated by something that a younger version of myself would never have imagined or guessed would ever even interest me. Here are a few examples. Taking a class in biological anthropology my last semester of college, this was to fulfill my final general education requirement that I had delayed till the bitter end. I was absolutely enthralled twice a week for 75 minutes at a time, thanks in large part to my brilliant and dynamic anthropology professor, Jeffrey Kurland. And this sparked an interest that I've had ever since. Another example, discovering a love of Indian food, despite never having tried it until, honestly, I can't even remember, but it had to have been my 20s. I would eventually have my wedding reception at Samantha's and my favorite Indian restaurant that we discovered together when it first opened. Another example, discovering a love of camping and backpacking at age 27 when I had never previously spent a night in the great outdoors. Another example, buying a mountain bike after not having ridden a bike for many years, and rediscovering the joy of riding at age 30, which led to attempting my first triathlon, which led to running a marathon, which led to learning how to swim a whole lot better because I wanted to try another triathlon, which led to longer bike rides than I would have previously ever thought myself capable of or interested in, which led to longer distance triathlons and eventually the completion of an Ironman triathlon. One of my favorite parts of being alive is discovering some new interest or rediscovering an old one and just diving into it. I am now 50 years old, and this kind of thing continues to happen, and I don't see why it should ever cease, as long as I continue to honor and follow my curiosities. For instance, I started a podcast, this very one you are listening to, last year. So, if you are lacking engagement in your life, if you are wanting for things that give you a real charge, the answer to your dilemma is simple. Try things. Start with those that you are naturally curious about, even slightly. You just never know what might grow and blossom into a true love. Sometimes the thing that does may come as a genuine surprise to you and defy your own predictions or expectations. Some things you investigate will be dead-end paths, maybe even a lot of them. That's perfectly okay. It is par for the course of life and very much part of the process. You may notice that the same applies to dating. But this is how you clarify what is and is not right for you. You learn from these experiences and move on. And incidentally, not all loves have to be lifelong. So keep trying things. One discovery or path very often quite naturally leads to another. If you continue following your curiosities and acting upon them, you will eventually hit pay dirt, and perhaps even have a whole host of things that you find engaging. And engagement in some interest, activity, hobby, cause, passion, or pursuit just might lead directly or indirectly to an engagement of another kind. It did for me. But look, even if it doesn't, it's far better to live a life of engagement than not. Try it both ways and see for yourself. The role of luck. There's no denying the luck factor when it comes to so many things in life, romantic relationships very much included. The fact is that, death and taxes aside, there simply are no guarantees. Life does not promise any of us that we will get what we want, that our dreams will be realized, or that we will even live another day. And there is no guarantee, whatever we do or don't do, or no matter how good or deserving a person we are, that we will find a loving and lasting life partnership. Not everyone does. There is a degree of luck involved. Not only is there luck in finding a suitable and compatible partner when both of you happen to be available, ready for, and interested in such a partnership, but no one person can sustain any kind of relationship, romantic or otherwise. It always takes two to participate and to continue participating. And the simple fact is that we cannot control or direct the actions or hearts of others. Not to mention the fact that our significant other, no matter how committed to us, can be separated from us at any time through death. I say this not to be morbid or discouraging, but rather as a grounded reminder that life is not a Disney movie. This is why it is important to not simply expend all of our energy in a search for love. Rather, we ought to do all that we can to create and allow love into our lives. After all, love is not something that just happens to us or doesn't. We play a part. We have to be a conduit for it. How do we do that? We create or allow love by saying yes to something and then doing so over and over again. We create or allow love by sharing ourselves, our knowledge and expertise, our wisdom, our creativity, our compassionate hearts, our enthusiasm for things, our kindness, our energy, our contacts, our resources, generously with others. We create or allow love by accepting the generosity and goodwill of others. We create or allow love by being curious and acting upon our curiosities. We create or allow love by connecting with others and learning to care for people and things outside of ourselves. By giving for its own sake, without an expectation for something in return, and receiving joy from the giving itself. The Beatles famously sang, "And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." I'm no mathematician, but the sentiment sounds about right. It is said that luck happens when preparation meets opportunity. Perhaps the same can be said for finding the love of your life. You prepare yourself for it by practicing love, by participating in its expression yourself, such as in the ways I just mentioned. And then when opportunity appears, you recognize it and are ready for it. In the end, the love of your life could be found in a very clinical sense by examining what you've dedicated yourself to over the course of your lifetime. What you gave yourself fully to, what you really put your heart and energy into, what you were committed to. Simply put, whatever and whomever you've most cared about, as demonstrated concretely through your actions and behavior, this will have been, ultimately and unmistakably, the love of your life. I wish you much good fortune and much love on your journey. If you enjoyed this episode of The Person You Want to Be, please consider subscribing to the show on your favorite podcast platform. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leaving a rating and review for the show would be greatly appreciated. Video versions of each episode are available on my YouTube channel, which is simply my name, Eric Teplitz. You can visit my website, ericteplitz.com, to sign up for my free newsletter, schedule a free one-on-one coaching call with me, and much more. Once again, that's Eric Teplitz, ericteplitz.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope this episode inspires you to take at least one action today in the direction of becoming the person you want to be.